When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What form is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Of all the things that have ever happened in GAA that we should have seen coming but didn't see coming, we really should have seen it coming that Tyrone are going to get to Croke Park and knock Kerry on their arses. Hi everyone, welcome to the show. Hi Merv.
Hey Owen, how's it going?
Oh, I mean, yeah, go on.
I mean, we didn't see it coming, but basically me, Paul Flynn and Oisin all tried to convince, as someone said to me on Saturday night, we tried to convince ourselves that Kerry were going to beat Tyrone, and then didn't really do the job on ourselves, but then said Kerry anyway for our predictions. I mean, we basically spent most of last week outlining how good Tyrone were, yeah, and yet still
everyone held
still
off.
just didn't have the bravery to actually go right ahead and predict a Tyrone win.
I was on Premier Sports duty, so I'd written off being able to watch it live because it was clashing. Then got off air, and to my delight, I must say, it had gone to extra time, so I got to actually watch it. But it made for a really weird viewing experience where, you know, I'd seen bits and pieces of what had got on in the match, yeah, but heard second hand and third hand. But my first experience of it, bearing in mind the entire build up and all the dynamics, my first experience was the opening minutes of extra time when the recently COVID ravaged Tyrone squad were just putting on one of those scintillating displays of athletic football that I've seen in an All Ireland semi final. Kerry lads dropping down with cramp left, right, and centre. Then it turns to Clifford on the bench going, oh, he might not get back. I was like, what the fuck happened to Clifford? What's going on here? Why are Tyrone? This is unbelievable. You at least had 70 minutes to become attuned to the idea that Tyrone,
yes,
could win this game.
Yeah.
So just spare a thought for, yeah, me, Murph. I mean, that was just tough. That was just a sort of sensory overload.
What had happened to David Clifford was Sean O'Shea giving him a king hospital pass, when all he had to do was just pass the ball to him take an extra step, draw the defender a little bit more, pass the ball to David Clifford, the game would have been over. As it was, he looped one high up in the air for Niall Morgan to absolutely body slam David Clifford, like fairly and within the rules.
David Clifford! But
yeah, so that was the end of David Clifford. But I can imagine your confusion on it was quite something.
So tell me now, what happened? What the hell? It's a question I'm sure Kerry players are asking themselves over the last 48 hours. What the hell happened there on Saturday?
Well, Kerry just kept running the ball at a mass defence, moving the ball extremely slowly between their own forwards, getting turned over, waiting for David Clifford to go and win the game for them. That particular tactic almost paying off. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would have if Sean O'Shea had found him with that pass. And by the end of it, just they had completely run out of ideas. Tyrone, well, it was a reasonably classic smash and grab.
It was the ambush that Paul Flynn had said would happen, but like we say, had just backed away from it.
He
knew there would
moment.
Be an ambush. He just thought Kerry would be also aware of this fact, which it didn't appear to be, which was the main problem there.
Yeah, it was extraordinary just to see Kerry take one more pass than was necessary, get turned over time and time and time again. Like, See, it is kind of weird, right? There, a lot of people would look at, oh, did some of the defending just absolutely unbelievable. Some of the blocks just crazy. So good, so good. And yes, absolutely so good. But inter-county forward getting their kick blocked down now is, like, that is a black mark against that player. Like, it's not that, oh, you know, well, it's unbelievable defending, that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, if it looks like you're going to get blocked down, don't take the shot on. You know, it's a skill in itself to know when you're about to get blocked down, and it is a black mark against you when you get charged down. It happened so often when there were fisted points to be taken, just one extra pass, two extra passes. Oh, it was a really, really shambolic day at the office for Kerry. There can be absolutely no doubt about that.
Here's man of the match Kieran McGeary speaking to RTE after the game. This is peak Tyrone right here.
They said that we wouldn't. They said that we couldn't. I'll tell you what, we did.
A siege mentality, a chip on their shoulder. Look, call it whatever you want to call it. They had some psychological baggage that they carried in, and in this case, it seemed to do them the world of good. Did they have the words of Kieran Murphy from the Irish Times printed on the dressing room wall? Or maybe they had the earphones in, we were listening to our second captain's podcast last week, where Kieran Murphy also uttered the sort of words that wouldn't have gone down too well in Tyrone, saying that they've gotten off very lightly if they decided that missing a few nights training while recovering from the vaccine was a bigger risk than just not getting vaccinated in the first place. So congratulations, Murphy, you drove Tyrone to victory.
Well, I mean, if I believe that getting an article of yours pinned on the dressing room wall of any dressing room is the Oscars of our trade, so I'm happy to take that happy to take that on board.
I saw Brian Dewar afterwards was asked about the vaccination thing, and sorry, he wasn't. Oh no, he was. Yeah, one of the questioners says Malachy Clerkin started to bring up vaccinations, which is the cue for Brian Dewar to start to get cranky. Look, hold on a minute, he interjected. Can I say something here? If this is coming at us to attack us here, which seems to be heading in that direction, we made a decision based on medical advice relevant to what happened and where we were. The medical advice that was that we weren't fit to field. We were told that. So I have a duty of care to these players. People mightn't think that, but was I going to put them out there and what if something happened? I said, no, I'm not. I'll take the hit. And we were actually getting hassle from the players for doing it. They weren't happy I pulled their championship on them. I don't want to get into this here now, but there's been a kind of slant here that we've tried to pull a fast one. It was a factual thing based on the evidence. I don't want to get into this here, but it's the way it's going, if this is the way it's going, which it seems to be listening to it, I'm in the wrong place. And Malachy says, with that, Dewar was up and he was gone. Tyrone to the bone. I mean, he didn't obviously answer anything about the vaccinations because none of the stuff he says in that quote seems to be related to the vaccination element to it. I certainly don't think you were talking about them pulling a fast one. You were just saying they had questions.
No, and this is very similar to the argument that was on at the start of the live coverage of the game on RT between Sean Kavanagh and Pat Spillane.
Jeez, that was intense.
Which went on for 6 or 7 minutes without a single point being made on either side, really, of any substance. I thought
Spillane brought up the vaccines at one point.
He did at the end, but in the most roundabout way possible. I mean, and without actually asking the simple question, which was, I mean, regardless of, you know, how you think Tyrone handled the delay and all the rest, I mean, they got a reprieve of 7 days. They, you know, did what they did. They got a further 6 days. It obviously worked out very well for them. I mean, you know, obviously there's tons to talk about. Like, I absolutely believe 100% that Tyrone had all of the COVID cases that they said. That, you know, there are plenty of players that have had seen action in the run-up to the Ulster final that we haven't seen in the Ulster final or the game yesterday. So we can only presume that they were, you know, that they are among some of the players that have been hit really, really hard by COVID. So, like, that's a non-issue as far as I'm concerned. It's a very simple, very clear situation. If Tyrone, what is the stance of vaccination amongst the Tyrone squad coming from their management over the course of the last 3 or 4 months? That's what I was talking about last Wednesday. That's what I was writing about on Thursday, and that's what they should have been talking about on television on Saturday, because that's the only thing that we have quotes for. I mean, after that, you know, it's Spillane talking about, like, he knows for a fact that all of the Kerry players are vaccinated, and that's fine. I mean, I don't know how you can actually know that. I don't think you can be physically present in all 34 cases to see them getting all of their vaccines and all the rest. But again, that's fine. Sean Kavanagh can't be sure of everything that he was saying either. But we have Fergal Logan's comments from last week, and they're worthy of further inspection, and just we didn't get that on RTE. But that's fine. One thing that I did get a lot of though, or that I saw a lot of on Saturday, was this idea being like, why do we have pundits from these counties involved on broadcast days? Which I just complete, like, people giving out about the fact that there are Kerry and Tyrone people involved in the broadcast.
It's a similar thing. People say that a lot of this, there's a bit of that going on with football as well. People are saying that, you know, you shouldn't be having pundits on when we know their club allegiances.
Yeah, I just could not disagree with that more. Like, it's absolutely fine to have these people on. And it's more than fine. It's actually informative for the viewer. I mean, it's happened to me on numerous occasions where analysts get in touch with me to ask a question about Galway football or Galway hurling, something that maybe I'm not even qualified to talk about anymore because I haven't, you know, I'm not at club games to the extent that I was 10 or 15 years ago when I was actually playing them. But this happens all the time. The fact of the matter is, if you're from Tyrone, you know more about Tyrone football than anyone else. And this isn't a thing that you can bone up on as an analyst. What you're talking about is like a, you know, a back catalogue of 7 or 8 years of this player playing club championship, playing minor and under 20 for the county, watching Sigerson Cup games involving them if they're in a college from up north where you know there's going to be a lot of Tyrone involvement in. I mean, it's like, it's absolutely pertinent to have people who know the players playing in the game better than anyone else.
The problem people have, the people that you're talking about, I presume, is that there's a bias that you're, and when it comes to something emotive, comes to whatever it is, I mean, the COVID thing is such a unique thing, but even black card tackles or red cards, these kind of things that clearly they're going to be too clouded by their county allegiances to give unbiased opinions.
In short, find someone from that county that isn't going to be so clouded as to not be able to call a blatant black card as Sean Kavanagh did, like a terrible decision. Like that's ridiculous. It was utterly ridiculous what he did. But I mean, the problem is not, as far as I'd be concerned, with the idea of having a pundit from that county. It's having a pundit from that county that is incapable of giving an unbiased account. And I mean, you know, a little bit of bias, as we've seen with Carragher and Neville and these people, a little bit of bias, as long as you know that the bias is there and you can see, as long as you know that the bias is there and you're able to judge what's unbiased analysis and then what is slightly biased. I mean, you know, we can make our own mind up on that, but you just have to get people who are more willing than Sean Kavanagh was and Pat Spillane was before the game to actually just discuss something without it becoming a pointedly Kerry versus Tyrone or Manchester United versus Liverpool argument, which is just tiresome to listen to. My problem is not with the idea. My problem on Saturday was with the individuals in question.
Paul Flynn and Oisín McConville are going to be on the show tomorrow. We'll have a GA pod tomorrow, so you can sign up. If you're not already a World Service member, you'll have to be to hear that chat. €5 a month plus VAT. You can sign up on secondcaptains.com. We should also mention that Meath are back, you guys. All-Ireland minor champions for the first time since 1992, surviving a late scare in the final against Tyrone.
Now, can they be accurate with this Tyrone? They have thrown away several opportunities, but this one is very, very scoreable and not a particularly difficult kick. This to send the game into extra time after Sean Leonard looked to have won it for Meath. Here comes Conor Owens. What thoughts are going through his head? Up he comes, kicks it, and it's over the bar. No! It's wide! It's wide! Oh my God! Meath have won the All-Ireland! It's all over! How did that happen? How did it happen, Manny? Conor Owens kicking the ball wide. Tyrone wide after wide after wide. But Meath had the guts and the gumption and the heart and the resilience and the determination. They're all Ireland champions for the fourth time in their history.
That's Brendan Cummins on commentary there, barely able to conceal his shock or delight at the late miss free that handed Meath the minor All-Ireland.
Listen, you know, I'm sure It was a thrilling victory for the Meath Miners. They loved it. They celebrated it. Why not? It was a particularly heartrending way to watch the final minutes of a game, though, I have to say. Conor Owens, who's been brilliant for the Tyrone Miners all year. I think it scored like 110 off the bench in their five games. And it was a free that was just difficult enough for me to see him missing it. And yeah, I actually texted Mark Horgan, who we were watching the final minutes of it. And I was like, I've got a sinking feeling this guy's going to miss this, and he actually did. And it's just one of those frees where if it was a free to win the All-Ireland minor final, I think he'd have kicked it, but taking frees to force a draw is a totally different kind of pressure. And it was, yeah, not nice.
I'm going to doff my cap, Murph. I'm going to congratulate me, despite the fact that Brendan Cummins himself has had a pop or two with the Dubs over the years.
Dublin are holding on to it in an obnoxious fashion.
And?
When Dublin get vulnerable, they always do this. Always and ever. And always and ever have.
Yeah, despite all that, listen, I'm not here. I love the first one. Passing the ball around in an obnoxious fashion is very good.
I would love to be able to hand pass the ball in an obnoxious fashion. I don't know how you go about it, but wow. Just look really smug while you're doing it.
I think just it's the volume. The more often you do it, the more the level of obnoxiousness appears to rise, I would imagine. But listen, Meath have obviously got the hard edge back into their football anyway.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
There you go. Liam Hayes' mantra is finally bearing fruit.
The Meath Miners were so good. Talk about tearing into tackles with a reckless abandon. It was a lot of fun to watch, I have to say. Very good.
Also, Murph, just to wrap things up, over the last few days, the Irish Paralympians have continued this new summer tradition of Irish athletes performing brilliantly at the highest level in Tokyo and then giving absolute dynamite interviews afterwards. So this is the latest example. Nicole Turner, who spoke to Darren Frell after winning silver in the 50-metre butterfly this morning.
Nicole Turner, you're holding your head, you're smiling. Do you believe what has just happened there? Do you realise what's happened?
To be honest, it hasn't sunk in at all. Coming into Tokyo, I suppose looking back on Rio, being so close to that bronze medal, the aim after Rio was to just get on the podium in Tokyo, but I never in a million years thought it'd be silver. I thought it'd be a fight for bronze.
I'm not sure if the viewers at home can see this. JJ is on camera, but you're actually shaking.
I mean, I think I was shaking before the race even started. before the race even started, to be honest, but that hasn't sunk in. it's honestly, it feels like a dream come true. This is honestly the best day of my life. I never thought, to even get to Tokyo this year, but to be honest, to be on the podium in a silver medal, it's for everyone at home, it's not for me.
Oh, just absolutely joyous, I gotta say, joyous stuff there.
Amazing, an amazing swim, and then the interview afterwards is just absolutely brilliant. And
it goes on, it's 3.5 minutes long or something, we played about a minute there. But
it's all watchable, it's all brilliant.
Yeah, it never dips, you know, I mean, there's only so much we're going to play in a short podcast today, but you can go and check out, I'm sure, RTE's social media feeds, watch a whole lot there.
Yeah, unbelievably charming and brilliant, and just and the footage from the family as well, watching in Port Harling with an extremely distressed dog wandering around in the front. just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
There's some great families. There was a lot of dogs featuring quite heavily as well, because it was the same.
Ellen Keane was saying hello to her dog.
Yeah. Ellen Keane's parents were fully decked out in shamrock print suits, you know, with top hats and stuff like that. So yeah, no, it's all going pretty well at the Paralympics so far. Murph, that's it. Let's wrap this podcast. We've got a lot of GAA to talk about tomorrow. Football pod, Ronaldo signing for United, all that kind of stuff is out today, and that'll be ready for you. We'll leave this one for now. Thanks, Ciarán.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks for listening. Hopefully you'll join the World Service to listen to our Paul Flynn, Oisín McConnell chat tomorrow. Bye.
Now, can Meath go for the goal here? 2:13 to 1:13. This is like old times at the moment.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
A row brewing on the 45-metre line. This is deliberately to stop Meath's momentum. Have no doubt about that. When Dublin get vulnerable, they always do this. Always and ever. And always and ever have.
That was our mentality in the 80s.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
McAdee.
Something we footballers are missing now. Killer instinct.
Tough babe, the lad of the air.
Two or three players need to be stopped. Some way, somehow they need to be stopped.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
Killing Dublin, stopping Dublin. There's certain things we need to do to stop them, you know?
There's still a chance for me, and Dublin at the moment are holding on to it in an obnoxious fashion. This is ugly, ugly football.
That killer instinct.
Your purpose on this planet is to stop Dublin. Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
Do anything you gotta do.
They're just gonna be stopped. They're either gonna be outplayed or they're gonna be removed.
Laid back. Tough face, lad, in the air.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.